everybody. This is Mike Lampe, and you're listening to the Active Learning Podcast. Today, I am wanting to talk a little bit about assessment in higher education. Now, that can mean millions of different things. I want to tackle a little bit more today on whether or not we should measure theories, definitions, important figures to the application. And especially when you're in an active learning environment or you're trying to put more active learning situations into your classroom, even if you are in more of a traditional setting, this becomes kind of a dilemma for faculty members to use, because not only are you dealing with the sequentialness of how classes are set up. So for example, English 101, you need to cover a certain amount of material to get to English 102. Same thing with the chemistry, you know, organic chemistry 1 leads to organic chemistry 2. And when you decide in an active learning environment to provide more authority or control to the students, you have some of that issue of, well, if I give the control to the students, am I trusting them to make sure that they get everything together? And this kind of this interesting situation that I feel is important kind of was brought up to a faculty member that was in our faculty development program here at USC Upstate, in which this faculty member noticed that in a traditional classroom setting, she noticed more theories, important figures, definitions when she was asking students to be assessed in that situation. They were doing very well, but when she was assessing them in an application setting, they weren't doing very well. And then all of a sudden, now that they're in the active learning program or that she's in an active learning environment in her particular class, she was able to notice the difference how application went up, but unfortunately, the definitions, the theories, and the important figures section that she needed to assess them on didn't do very well on. And that's a very interesting scenario, because then it sparked a conversation among faculty in the room: is what really is important? Is the application important? Is the important figures, definitions, and things like that important as well? And I mean, just to be on the safe side, and I want to make a disclaimer: I believe both are essential, because when you're having conversations in a specific discipline, especially if you want to go to grad school, I understand why knowing important figures and theories count. I think I owe a lot of success to my master's program at Marquette University, because they had a very extensive theories course that really helped me understand how to think and act in higher education. So I really appreciated that. But at the same time, you need to have that point of application. I think some schools do really well, and I think some schools are completely missing the mark. That said, we have to understand what active learning is requiring for us to do, at the same time allowing the understanding that institutions are requiring us to make sure we cover the materials that we can cover. And that's very interesting to me as well, because if you allow more control for the students to take control of the classroom as far as how to build content and how to apply it, you're going to have, it's almost like instead of you being the expert, you're almost being like the facilitator, the mentor, or, you know, like the software, where you allow people to play within the software in a computer situation, but like you give them boundaries, right? Just like how Adobe Captivate or Adobe InDesign gives graphic designers the ability to create whatever they want to create, but in the confines of what Adobe allows you to do with their software. So that's kind of a similar situation. And I really do believe that you have the ability to mentors or facilitate the learning, where if you feel like they're getting off course, you can say, okay, well, let's get off course. Let's kind of think about it. Let them build what they think they should build. And most of the time, they're going to get the stuff that they need to get done. If you need to add stuff, definitely that's where direct instruction can come into play. That after the fact saying, you guys did a really good job of covering a certain situation, but let me kind of redirect some of the things that you guys did talk about that you might have missed or missed the mark on by getting something wrong or misunderstanding something that the text might have said. So the other side, so not only do you have application and the theories that go along with the application that you're trying to figure out a balance in the active learning classroom, knowing that the environment allows more for application to be better understood than the theories and important figures, it kind of gets to the point of what's really important in the classroom again. I have my supervisor, Cindy Jennings, here at USC Upstate in the Department of Learning Technologies, talked about how when that situation that the faculty member talked about in our faculty development program, she's like, well, it kind of makes sense because you really could just Google that information if you really needed to know the person. It's readily available to you. Whereas the application, it's very hard to apply something on the internet. Like, you can't just Google Wikipedia saying, I want to apply this, do this for me, versus I just am looking up a term, their definition for that term. Yes, Wikipedia can give you that to you, but they can't apply it for you. That's like saying Wikipedia is going to do your job for you, and that's not the case. I think it's really interesting as well. I feel like I'm saying interesting a lot. I apologize. I'll stop. But we had a book that we read. It's called The New Culture of Learning by Brown and John Seely Brown and Douglas Thomas. And one of the things I got a really interesting quote for them. They said, teachers no longer need to scramble to provide the latest up-to-date information to students because the students themselves are taking an active role in helping to create and mold it, particularly in the areas of social information. Now, for those of you who think, well, that sounds like, oh, they're just taking information in social media, that's kind of sketch city, I understand that. I think what I would have done a little bit differently in that particular quote is saying, you know, I think students not necessarily are taking, I think when they're taking a more active role when they're very motivated to look something up. I mean, and some people might say, well, if they're taking the class, that's motivation enough. I mean, somebody who's really motivated is like the fan fiction that Brown and Thomas talk about when you hear about fan fiction of people writing novels upon, not novels, but they're talking about pages and pages of novels based on Harry Potter or World of Warcraft, things like that's true motivation, that people just love reading those type of stories or playing those games, so they really get into it, and then they feel like they're spending hours when it feels like 10 minutes to them. But I really would have said students themselves have the ability to take an active role. So you're still having to measure their participation in the classroom. But at the same time, you can tell them, hey, if you want, you're going to have to apply this, but you're also going to need to know the definitions. And those are in the book. You can easily do that and have them take the time to do that. And that's a little bit like flipped classroom. But I also understand that some people feel like flipped classroom, it doesn't work when it's not done properly. I completely get that. But I think another thing that the book does very well in The New Culture of Learning is he talks about, imagine an environment where evaluation is based on an after-action review, not to just determine rewards. So when you're evaluating students, are you solely evaluating them just so that they know what grade they're going to get? Or are you evaluating them so they know exactly what they're doing? Again, goes back to what's more important, the theory definitions or the actual application of it? And it also really depends on the student, too. If the student wants to go to graduate school for, let's say, environmental science or sociology, where they might need to go back and write peer-reviewed papers, scholarly journals, to kind of give them a premise of their argument using such and such theory, that makes sense. But if you're a student that's doing gen ed type stuff where you might be doing something outside of, I'm just picking on sociology, no particular reason, but let's just say you're not going to grad school for sociology. You want to just like learn more about it because it's a requirement in your gen ed and it's going to help you think a little bit more outside the box. Then the application's even more important in that situation. That's one of the things that I think is really interesting is don't look at the grade necessarily, look at what's more important for the students. And that kind of also gets into the role of, do you want to have students, do you want to like peer evaluate students individually based on what they want to get out of the course, or do you want to do a collective, this is what I expect you to do and you're going to do it regardless of whether or not you like the course or not situation. The last thing I find interesting, and I want to throw a little bit of theory stuff before I kind of get to my final review a point of what I'm trying to get at here is a lot of active learning, I believe, comes through the idea of constructivism. And a lot of these conditions for constructivism is embedding the learning in a complex, realistic, and relevant environment. Now, I'm taking this from the third edition of The Psychology of Learning for Instruction by Driscoll. And Keith's going, provide for social negotiation as an integral part of learning. That also creates a little, you know, nervousness among faculty members in higher education as far as active learning is concerned, because you're allowing students more of the ability to talk amongst themselves, to give them more ownership of how they understand the content so that they're able to better prepare for your tests or examinations. Or even like papers if you decide to go that route, or projects or such. Support multiple perspectives. Again, that's something that active learning does as well. Use the multiple modes of representation. Encourage ownership in learning and nurture self-awareness of the knowledge construction process. Again, tenets of active learning that's founded by constructivist theory. I really think that constructivism does, you know, clash into what we are doing in higher education. A lot of times we're expecting them to get the diploma because what they're saying is you have to pass this class, this class, this class, and you need to be tested in X, Y, Z to do it. But at the same time, you wonder why some people are arguing with the fact that you're not really gaining any practical information. I'm really starting to believe, now that I've been in this project for almost a year now, that higher education, not just technical college, I think liberal arts education can truly be practical if you actually look at it from an active learning perspective. You actually get the students to figure out in what way is this content important to them and to their classmates, and figure out a way to do it. Now, again, just like flipped learning, active learning is the same way, where you absolutely need to know what you're doing. You start small, you kind of build your way forward, assess, use the ADDIE model, the scientific method of instructional design, of saying, okay, I'm going to evaluate what my students did, I'm going to analyze, I'm going to then redesign, redevelop my class accordingly until I implement it again and restart the process until you really got something going. And that's where the evaluation comes in. How do you make participation more of an important situation when it comes to active learning? You find ways where students can evaluate themselves and their classmates. There's the Socratic discussion measure that one of my faculty members also sent to me, in a way that she's measuring her participation in the classroom for classroom discussion. But how do you make that? I would recommend having that be more of weight, because active learning is about inside the classroom getting stuff done, whereas the exams aren't going to hold as much weight, because in active learning you are expecting more so something to come more concrete out of the class content you're providing, rather than them just figuring out the sequence of answering A, B, C, D correctly. Now, I'm sorry, I'm slightly exaggerating the importance of tests and examination. I'm not saying that that's bad either, but I really feel like at the end of the day, I think students are going to be able to go out to the world and be like, oh, I'm doing this. And then maybe every once in a while having a conversation, they have a sociology professor, oh, that's actually from the theory. And she's like, oh, I remember doing that, but I didn't do as well in the definition. Again, that's where Google comes into play. That's essentially what I have. I'm ranting, and I feel like it's already been past 13 minutes, so I'm just slowly getting more and more content, and I apologize. Maybe I'm not apologizing because you're loving what you're hearing. Go to Twitter. My hashtag is SU2, the number SUP. And I'm also at Situationalist. If you want to catch me out on Twitter there, you can also email me at You can also catch me on mlampy@uscupstate.edu. I'd be happy to talk with you. If you want to come on the program, you're great to do so, to talk about your active learning experience. I'd be happy to share it to the masses. You can also Google me now. I realize that I'm coming up on Google quite a bit, so I'm loving the following that I'm getting. Hopefully, maybe not. I don't know. So this has been the Active Learning Podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah.